From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised as Christians endeavor to live for the Lord and be a witness to the unsaved. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. His long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into areas of concern for both believers and unbelievers. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, will people who have never heard of Christ still perish?
The question seems to agitate a lot of people. Will the people who have never heard of Christ still perish? You know, behind that question there's a mindset. The mindset is that somehow or other, it would be unjust of God to punish sinners for their sin. Stop and think of it. God doesn't owe salvation to anybody. Sinners are sinners, whether they've heard of Christ or whether they haven't. And sinners outside of Christ deserve the punishment of God. That includes you, that includes me, everybody who's ever lived, born by natural generation of Adam. We all are sinners. We are coming short of the glory of God. Now, is there such a thing as salvation? Yes, there is. Where is it to be found? In Christ alone. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Peter said, we must be saved. But how must we be saved? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gospel is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was spoken to a man who up until then was a heathen. Now that means that had he not believed in Christ, he would have been unsaved. He was unsaved up to that point. Can people then not just be sincere in the religion they have? Well, where does religious sincerity come in to saving the soul? The Bible does not allow for such a thing. The Word of God says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. I think when people talk like this, A, they have no conception of the holiness of God. B, they have no conception of the sinfulness of sin. And if they had such a knowledge in the light of Scripture, they would realize this is why we've got to reach the heathen with the gospel, because apart from Christ, they have no hope. Well, what about people in the Old Testament? Were there not people then saved? They had never seen Jesus Christ, had never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Well, don't be so quick to jump to that conclusion. Jesus said of Abraham that he saw my day. He rejoiced to see it and was glad. Jesus said of Moses, and this is speaking of the writings of the Pentateuch, Moses wrote of me. You see, the whole core of Old Testament revelation is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised Redeemer. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people believed in God's revelation concerning the divine Redeemer. We now know his name to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But the fact of the divine Redeemer, the identity of one Redeemer, set forth throughout the Old Testament from Genesis chapter 3 right on. And that's how they were saved. Nobody has ever been saved apart from a saving faith, a justifying faith, in that divine revelation that God gives concerning the Redeemer, whom we know to be Jesus Christ. No, people cannot be saved apart from Christ. And there's no religion in the world in which people can be rightly instructed and brought to a knowledge of the true God, never mind respond to him in faith, outside of biblical Christianity.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. On today's program, he continues a message entitled, True Preaching Makes a Difference. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
God uses preachers. This is why the Great Commission is so essential. If the church doesn't go, men don't hear. That's Paul's argument in Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't come by any other way. Saving faith will not be experienced unless men, women and men, go forward with the message of the gospel. So let us not fall into some kind of thinking where really what we're doing was beginning to make preaching and missionary work some kind of secondary thing or a supplementary to other experiences. It's the only plan God has to reach the nations. The only one. So, our gospel came not unto you, he says, but we might just say that the gospel came to them. It did come to them. The practice of preaching is essential. The gospel came to them. And let us not limit it to the nations. It's also true of your neighbors. You can pray and pray and pray all you like that they may be saved, but at some point, you or someone else is going to have to come and communicate the gospel to them. At some point. It's God's way. Shirk this responsibility. We will never see souls saved. You can pray all day long. Pray all day long. Unless you speak the word, they will never be saved. So when our sister told me yesterday that she got an opportunity to talk to her father and communicate the gospel to him, and he said he trusted in Christ, he's turning to the Lord, asking him for forgiveness, it came because it was communicated. She got an opportunity, she seized upon it, and she took it, and the Lord blessed it. That's the way it goes. Secondly, the power that attends true preaching. The power that attends true preaching. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Now, there are three things here. There's a parallelism that's used by the apostle. It's also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And there's a sense in which, well, some take it to be like three separate things. You have power, and some may say, well, that's kind of like the sign miracles that attended the apostles. The Holy Ghost is the work of the Spirit to draw men to Christ, and much assurance was the conviction of the preachers as they preached with confidence the gospel. But again, I think what Paul's doing here in verse 5, what he is doing in context, as far as I see it, is he is drawing from his own experience, and he's testifying of how he saw the work of God unfold in that city. And so as he observes the change in their lives, he is further strengthened by a sense of conviction of what happened there because of what he experienced, what they experienced as they preached the word. And so this power and working of the Spirit and much assurance, I think, come together really as one thing, and they're interconnected in a real way. And the main point really is this, that it wasn't preaching for the sake of preaching. That is certainly undeniable. Our gospel came not unto you in word only. It didn't come just as mere words. I wasn't just standing up there saying words or communicating information. Sometimes when you preach, it feels that way. It does. It feels like you're just communicating information and you're just sharing thoughts with people. But what you want to experience, what you want to know, is this power that attends the communication of the gospel. And that's what Paul experienced there. True preaching, you see, is supernatural. It is unlike anything else. And it does things that are like nothing else in the world. If your idea of preaching is just, again, teaching the word of God, just, was it Lloyd Jones? When someone asked Lloyd Jones, I'm going from memory here, someone I think asked Lloyd Jones on one occasion, what's the difference between preaching and teaching? And his witty response to that was simply this: if you have to ask the question, you've never experienced preaching. And I think there are many people today that have never experienced preaching. There are men that get up and they handle the word and they're truthful in what they say, and you wouldn't have to correct much of what they communicate. But there's not just a loss of the sense of the power in the preaching, but nowadays there's a loss of even the awareness of the need for it. One of the things I'm grateful for, very grateful for, and we are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, far from it. I think sometimes we are even more guilty because of the deposit of knowledge that God has given to us. But one of the things I'm thankful for is when I was saved and came into this denomination and began to listen to preaching, both that was from the present at that time and from the past, that I was being confronted with this need of something that was supernatural in evangelism and in preaching. That men, if they are to be anything for God and do anything for God, must be men that know the supernatural upon their lives. Any of us who have been a part of this denomination for any length of time have heard the stories of the 36-hour prayer meeting. I mean, and that in many ways kind of, it wasn't the foundation. These men already understood it. That's why they're praying. But as you come after these generations and you hear about that, and you also see the just normal men in many ways, but with tremendous unction and power in their delivery of the word. You have, some of you have sat in meetings, normal Lord's Day meetings, normal camp weeks away or whatever. You've sat in regular meetings where you assemble together with those of like precious faith, but you've sat there and you've been confronted with something that can only be described in terms of the supernatural. That you sit there and you know that God was there. Or you witness the quiet sobbing of souls in the pew behind you, beside you, in front of you. You see people affected by the word. Now you take the same sermon, and I heard it. I heard one man get up and preach one time, word for word, a sermon by Dr. Paisley. It was kind of an open-air meeting, and they were addressing a lot of unsaved men, and I wasn't a Christian very long, and I was there standing in the crowd, and he was preaching a message that was, it was Mr. Paisley's message, pretty much word for word, and he got up and he preached it. Well, I'll tell you what, the thunder of God that was there when Mr. Paisley preached it wasn't there that day. It was the same words. The same words, but not the same power. Paul experienced this. He knew when he went into that city, God had established a work because the gospel came not unto you in word only. Now they would have had nothing to compare it to. Those that were saved, this is their first experience of the gospel being preached. They can't do an A-B test here and see the distinction between when others had passed through and preached and when Paul came. This is their first experience of preaching. But Paul knew what happened there. He was able to do a test in his mind. Other times where he preached in that sense of being devoid of the help of God. And on this occasion, knowing the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Came in power. Convicting sinners, converting sinners, sanctifying and equipping saints. It is this which builds the kingdom of God. Paul would write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." It's not in word, but in power. Now, I want us to get this. I've already touched on it in some previous weeks. I'm going to rub it in again today. This needs to be understood by us all, not just by me as a preacher. You cannot be satisfied merely coming and sitting and saying, "Nice message, nice sermon." There needs to be a hunger for the supernatural. A hunger that is born before God in prayer, that is brought as a burden before God in prayer, where you're seeking God, "Give us your help, Lord. Give us your power. Give us that which you have promised." We need to have that experience of God coming down, the rending of the heavens, as it were, the visitation of God, where God comes. I know it will not be like the priest's experience at the dedication of the temple. And such was the presence of God. And the whole presence of God kept the priests from even coming in to the building. But God was again, it was an unusual, it's not normative, but he's establishing something there, isn't he? He's establishing the fact that in this place his presence is to be known. And such is his presence that it can be felt and known and experienced. You say, God is there. God is there. Now, if you've never sat in meetings like that, all the more you need to beg God that you experience them. And if you're older and more mature in your years and you have sat in meeting after meeting like that in the past, covet it again, at least for your children and your children's children. They would know what it's like to be confronted with God. Not just word only, but power. A.W. Tozer, American preacher, passed on, he's in glory now, but he said this. There is today no lack of Bible teachers to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrines of Christ. But too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year, strangely unaware that there is in their ministry no manifest presence nor anything unusual in their personal lives. They minister constantly to believers who feel within their breasts a longing which their teaching simply does not satisfy. I trust I speak in charity, but the lack in our pulpits is real. End quote. And it's even more real today. There is an authority in true preaching that is easier to discern than it is to define. But it is absolutely essential.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.